Hope is not a strategy. Luck is not a factor. Fear is not an option. That's from James Cameron. My name is Kyle McCaffrey, and I am the host of the Hero Bells podcast and the lead trainer of Hero Bells. I'm a fitness coach and kettlebell, hardstyle kettlebell specialist. I live in Valencia, Spain. I really like that quote that I just said. By the way, welcome to episode 24. Today we're going to be talking about mastery, but I want to just elaborate on that quote and what I think of it and this book that I'm going to read. I really like that quote because when we think of learning and becoming something, we are often stabbing in the dark and wish, hoping that the advice you received will be the true way to reach your goal. Maybe we hope that the motivational speech we heard will be the one that sticks in our mind, leaving a lasting mental imprint. I can't be the only one who's been pumped up by a good speech, and then a week or two later, it just fades. I think we spend too much time hoping. Hope is also a great and powerful thing. However, I think hope is only an ember that needs nurturing. What you want is fire. To continue the fire analogy, you use motivation as embers, but you don't use embers to keep a fire lit. You use fuel. So that begs the question, what is the fuel to the fire? The fuel is the why. Having a why that's strong enough to transcend time and a strategy that is focused but flexible. And that's what makes it stick. The issue is that many folks can't find a why that fits the criteria. Finding meaning beyond the superficial these days is indeed rare and difficult. It's hard not to be inundated with models of physical perfection, but this is just a temptation. You need to dig down and find out what has the most meaning across the most dimensions. This isn't my advice either. I'm using that advice and projecting it onto you, but these aren't necessarily my thoughts or ideas. So take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. Fortunately, the answer is quite simple. Do it for your future. When you begin training, you have to shed the idea that you want a six-pack, big biceps or legs or whatever. If you approach fitness from a health standpoint, the objective gets clearer and a long-term objective is realized every time you train and sometimes when you don't train. By the way, you might hear some voices, people speaking Spanish in the background. I do live in Spain and I have paper-thin walls. So if you hear that or dogs barking or planes going overhead, I apologize. I don't have a studio. In my fitness coaching, I emphasize fundamentals and purpose. Because when you take that approach, your plan can be flexible. Since life changes, we must change too. The goal isn't the end. It isn't the journey. It's the movement, the motion. One strategy is to know the way broadly. Another is a laser-focused mastery on a single venture. Both strategies require a why. Pick up the book Mastery by Robert Greene in order to get a good comprehensive understanding of mastery and the strategies therein. And I'm going to read from that book today to give you some of the strategies so that you can apply them to the approach to the things that matter in your life. Here we go. It might seem that connecting to something as personal as your inclinations and life's task would be relatively simple and natural once you recognize their importance. But in fact, it's the opposite. It requires a good deal of planning and strategizing to do it properly, since so many of the obstacles will present themselves. The following five strategies, which we're only going to go through, I think, one today, illustrated by stories of masters, are designed to deal with the main obstacles in your path over time. The voices of others infecting you, fighting over limited resources, choosing false paths, getting stuck in the past, and losing your way. Pay attention to all of them because you will almost inevitably encounter each one in some form. So, number one, return to your origins. This is called the primal inclination strategy for masters. Their inclination often presents itself to them with remarkable clarity in childhood. Sometimes it comes in the form of a simple object that triggers a deep response. When Albert Einstein was five, so that would have been 1884, his father gave him a compass and a present. Instantly, the boy was transfixed by the needle, which changed direction as he moved the compass about. The idea that there was some kind of magnetic force that operated on this needle, invisible to the eyes, touched him to the core. What if there were other forces in the world equally invisible yet equally powerful? Ones that were undiscovered or not understood? For the rest of his life, all of his interests and ideas would revolve around this simple question of hidden forces and fields. And he would often think back to the compass that he had sparked, that had sparked the initial fascination. When Marie Curie, the future discoverer of radium, was 4 years old, she wandered into her father's study and stood transfixed before a glass case that contained all kinds of laboratory instruments for chemistry and physics experiments. She would return to that room again and again to stare at the instruments, imagining all sorts of experiments she could conduct with these tubes and measuring devices. Years later, she entered a real laboratory for the first time and did some experiments herself. She reconnected immediately with her childhood obsession. She knew she had found her vocation. When the future film director Ingmar Bergman was 9 years old, his parents gave his brother for Christmas a cinematograph. I don't even know if I said that right. Which is a moving picture machine with strips of film that projected simple scenes. He had to have it for himself. He traded his own toys to get it, and once it was in his possession, he hurried into a large closet and watched the flickering images it projected on the wall. It seemed like something had magically come to life each time he turned it on. To produce such magic would become his lifelong obsession. Sometimes this inclination becomes clear through a particular activity that brings with it the feeling of heightened power. As a young boy growing up in North Carolina, John Coltrane felt different and strange. He was much more serious than his schoolmates. He experienced emotional and spiritual longings he did not know how to verbalize. He drifted into music more as a hobby, taking up the saxophone and playing in his high school band. Then a few years later, he saw great jazz saxophonist Charlie Bird Parker perform live, and the sounds Parker produced touched Coltrane to the core. Something primal and personal came through Parker's saxophone, a voice from deep within. Coltrane suddenly saw the means for expressing his uniqueness and giving a voice to his own spiritual longings. He began to practice the instrument with such intensity that within a decade, he transformed himself into perhaps the greatest jazz artist of his era. Now, it's actually really interesting for me to read this, and about mastery and getting in touch with that kind of that origin, that original bit of inspiration. For me, actually, it was filmmaking. For whatever reason, it might have just been because I used to watch a lot of movies. I would watch what my sisters and my brother watched, or my mom and my dad, and I was the youngest by 7.5 years from my next sibling. So, needless to say, I got a lot of more mature influences growing up. Not to say I'm mature, but at least my understanding of movies and how they made me feel and what they made me think became very prevalent in my life. And I understood that there was somebody behind a camera and somebody made this as a piece of art. It wasn't just that there was this magical story that I was enveloped in, even though I was like anyone else. I understood that somebody had to make this, and I appreciated that art form very early on, and I didn't have that with many things other than music. And same with physical fitness. I mean, I always had a ton of energy as a kid, and It really made me really happy when people would tell me how strong I was or how fast I was or how skilled I was at something. And as much as that might not have been always the greatest thing to a growing boy's ego, those are things that really resonate with me anyway. And I'm sure whoever's listening to this might have those things too. And to come full circle about filmmaking is that when I do anything with video, and you might not see it very much right now, but I look at things in much more of a filmmaking sort of perspective. So for instance, if you go onto my Instagram, which is at @hero_kbells, check it out and follow, please. You can go on there and you'll see basically just kind of sort of cookie cutter videos. But if you go to my YouTube channel and check me out there, I have some vlogs and things that I talk about. So mature themes and some, I have ways that I set up scenes that aren't necessarily groundbreaking or anything like that, or just super stylistic. However, I do have a desire to tell a story visually. That's something that I really appreciate. And I hope to more in the future be able to show that, because it's been recent that as of recent, I have noticed this flair for filmmaking just kind of well up inside of me and just starting to bubble up and become something that I can't control anymore, that I really just want to do. But anyway, that's kind of what we're getting to right now, but we're just going to get through a little bit more of an example from Robert Greene. Here we go. You must understand the following. In order to master a field, you must love the subject and feel a profound connection to it. Your interest must transcend the field itself and border on the religious. For Einstein, it was not physics, but a fascination with invisible forces that governed the universe. For Bergman, it was not film, but the sensation of creating and animating life. For Coltrane, it was not about music, but giving voice to powerful emotions. These childhood attractions are hard to put into words and are more like sensations that of deep wonder, sensual pleasure, power, and heightened awareness. The importance of recognizing these proverbial inclinations is that they are clear indications of an attraction that is not infected by the desires of other people. They're not something embedded in you by your parents, which come with a more superficial connection, something more verbal and conscious. Coming instead from somewhere deeper, they can only be your own, reflections of your unique chemistry. As you become more sophisticated, you often lose touch with these signals from your primal core. They can be buried underneath all of the other subjects you have studied. Your power and future can depend on reconnecting with this core and returning to your origins. You must dig for signs of such inclinations in your earliest years. Look for its traces in visceral reactions to something simple, a desire to repeat an activity that you have never tried, or that you're never tired of, rather. A subject that stimulated an unusual degree of curiosity, feelings of power attached to particular actions. It is already there within you. You have nothing to create. You merely need to dig and re-find what has been buried inside you all along. If you reconnect with this core at any age, some element of that primitive attraction will spark back to life, indicating a path that can ultimately become your life's task. So, the million-dollar question is, how do you relate this to fitness? Well, here's something wonderful. Every single person, okay, I can't make that kind of generalization, to be fair. Most people, able-bodied people, you started out as a child, everybody did that, but most kids went and played physically. And that's why it's really important to add playing into your regimen. So when I tell people who are having a really hard time getting into fitness and they don't want all the pageantry and the culture and the brands and whatever other kind of bullshit that you get that comes along with it, and there's tons. I mean, there's a thick veneer over the essential core elements of fitness and staying in shape. It's actually almost all of that's quite simple. But what isn't talked about enough. And I think Mark Sisson talks about this quite a bit, but is about how important playing is. And that's really going to help you cultivate this kind of purpose, your why. Because if you have something that you really like to do, maybe it's, you know, I'm going to say horseback riding. That can be one. The physical requirements of horseback riding, I mean, this might not be the greatest example, but you do have to have some sort of core strength in order to be able to do that and do it for a long period of time. So say that's something you want to do. You either want to race, which I'm sure requires some sort of physical exertion to a degree, or you just want to go on long treks. You're going to want to have some sort of core activity, and it would be worth it to either do more horseback riding, which I don't necessarily think is the right answer, or to train so that you don't get tired in these particular positions where you're sitting upright with your legs spread and in front of you. It's, but that I'm trying to use a bad example to illustrate that just about anything can be bolstered by physical training. So you can just be doing plyometrics, isometric holds. You could be doing a number of different things in order to make the things you love to do better. And that's where Robert Greene is talking about mastering these sort of things, is in, at least in this regard, where we're talking about finding those origins. When you were a child, there was something that you loved to do. Maybe it was tennis. Maybe you just liked playing tag, which means you might like sprinting. You might like hunting. Maybe you liked throwing a ball. You know, maybe you liked archery. All these things can be pursued and looked at from through a lens of physical fitness and can be bolstered and made better. And that'll actually make it stick and last longer because you have a reason. You're not going through the mundane fitness. I don't know how to say this. You're not going through the boring parts of it, which is just essentially working out for the sake of working out. There's some people that like to do it, but I often find, and I might be wrong, but the people who just work out for the sake of working out, a lot of it is superficial. Mind you, my life is only my life and I have a limited experience. I would be happy to be proved wrong. That's a first. Hopefully that's a helicopter because that sounded like a plane. But anyway, no, it's a helicopter. But anyway, that is one of the key elements to the people who are not fitness minded, who don't want to be a fucking fitness dork, because there's something that drives me mental about fitness dorks. And you might think that that's what I am. I am not. I'm about positivity. I'm also sometimes very cynical. I'm a real person. And I actually understand that there's, you know, just because you did a workout, I don't want your damn high five sometimes. Sometimes I'm miserable in the gym or working out, and I'm not necessarily happy even after I'm done. Not everything is sunshine and rainbows. I don't look at everything through rose-colored glasses. I try to see the best in everything and be grateful for whatever I do have, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm about to go on a rant. Holy shit, I'm going to stop myself here. Anyway, the point is that doing something you really love to do will make those things that are mundane, it could just be doing stability work on a BOSU, which is boring as hell, might make sense when you're thinking about playing tennis. You want to make sure that you have great ankle support and stability. So that BOSU is going to make perfect sense because then you're going to see the results in the thing you enjoy and you're going to enjoy it more. Feel that flow state. Keep your mindset up and direct your attitude in the right direction, and it's going to ultimately make your life better. So why the hell not do that? Look for the origin. Find the thing that you did as a kid that you loved to do, and then pursue fitness through that. Even if you're already well into your fitness journey, you might be a bodybuilder, you might be a power lifter, you might be a kettlebell instructor, you might be, you name it. It doesn't matter. Find that origin. Use the tools you already have to pursue that. And of course, keep an open mind because maybe you have to change directions a little bit, maybe make a micro adjustment. But nonetheless, this is one path to mastery. And you can join me next time, and I'm going to read another strategy about how to achieve this type of mastery or achieve mastery in anything you want to do and how it relates to physical fitness. So this was episode 24. Thank you so much for listening. And please follow me on Instagram at @hero_kbells, on Facebook, where you can get supplementary material on every episode, almost every episode. I'll be careful. At Hero Kbells. And then follow me on YouTube, where you can get some free workouts. There's lots of good stuff on there for you. And then you can see those vlogs I was telling you about earlier. That's, you can just type in Hero Bells, and I will try to include all the links in the description, so you can just click them there. If you're on your phone or on Apple, then you might not be able to click them. So anyway, thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this podcast was useful to you. I want to let you know that I have more tips and workouts available on YouTube that will also help you along the way of your training. Just search Hero Bells, and please comment. I love comments. Like and subscribe, turn on notifications, and check in often. Thanks so much again. Have a great day.